Because seriously, when's the last time you were sober enough to wake up at 5:30 a.m. to listen live? Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. The Raptors make a statement with a win over Memphis.
Left side, on the elbow, steps back, 16-footer, drop it down! Kyle Lowry puts it right in the grill of Mike Conley, and the Raptors are 8.2 seconds away from knocking off the number one team in the NBA.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
7:03, Brady and Walker, good morning. It was the best in the East, record-wise. Toronto Raptors over the best in the West, record-wise. The Memphis Grizzlies. I got a few questions for you. Number one, it's on that. How close to accurate is that? They have the best records in their respective conferences. Are the Raptors and Grizzlies the actual best teams in their conferences?
Well, I think the Raptors, I'm glad you asked that, because I've been thinking about it a lot. And the Raptors could probably, am I more inclined 11 games in to think they could be first overall?
Yeah. Than you were prior to the season?
A little bit. I don't know how I couldn't be. This homestand has gone exactly according to plan. It's going to get tougher, right? We've seen what have been their big tests so far. They had to go to Miami on a back-to-back, and they lost down there. Miami has had some terrible games in the post-LeBron era since then, right? Washington came in, you mentioned that a couple weeks ago, without Bradley Beal. John Wall was terrible. Gortat wasn't that impactful. And Saturday night right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, they go to Cleveland. That's really the last big frontier, I don't want to say of the Raptors' challenges, but I don't think in 41 home games this year they're going to be an underdog at home. And that's, I can't think of a Toronto sports team, maybe since the World Series Blue Jays teams, that we ever would have given that kind of a, and gambling lines aren't important in hockey, and I don't think they're that important in baseball. It's all about the starting pitchers. But this trip's gone exactly, the stand, as you will, has gone exactly as planned. They could have a letdown game tomorrow night, and I don't think I'll think any less of them against the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow night. They are more likely to be first in the conference than I thought, but they're not any much of a better team than I thought, Andrew. This has more been about what the other teams haven't done out of the gate, and we thought Cleveland would struggle. We wondered about Rose with the injury histories. They won their first game out west. They play at Sacramento tonight in the late TNT doubleheader. But how can you not love where the Raptors are? They're going to fight. And the idea that they could be first overall should blow people's minds, because Nobody saw that potential there.
96-92 over the Grizzlies. And I think you're right. So if we look at Cleveland, right? If we treat Cleveland like the class of the Eastern Conference, and no one's panicking, they're 5-5. They're going to figure it out and be okay. Yep. But what date on the calendar are the Raptors going to lose their fifth game? It's not for a long, long time.
It's not for a long, long time. Yeah, they go out west. They have a west trip against the Lakers, the Kings, and the Jazz. Just a three-game trip starting November 30th, right after American Thanksgiving, starting a week from Sunday. That's not going out and playing Golden State and the Clippers and even Oklahoma City in Oklahoma City, even without Kevin Durant. So you're right. I think we're looking at closer to mid-December for the Raptors to lose that. Now, come playoff time,
yeah, the conversation does
expectation
change,
raises,
yeah.
And the whole concept. I mean, think about where we were 12 months ago, and even you people would spit water in your face accidentally if you said, "Well, Raptors and NBA Finals in the same sense." It's stupid. 11 games in, I admit that, but why won't they have a crack at it? Why won't the door be open just a little bit more than we all might have thought come April?
We'll ask Masai Ujiri these questions as well. He joins us in 54 minutes from now at 8 a.m. on Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, right now at 7:06. So who stood out for you last night? There is no James Johnson. We know that. So other guys on the bench, notably Chuck Hayes, had to play a bigger role. Big fourth quarter from Terrence Ross. Big shot from Kyle Lowry. Who is the guy for you?
Yeah, Chuck Hayes got minutes that seem to be vital. But it probably does begin and end with Kyle Lowry. There he is going against what I think is a pretty special point guard in Mike Conley, and a guy who's younger than Kyle Lowry. I look at Conley and I wonder, not by much though, about a year and a half, 2 years. I looked at Conley as a potential replacement for Kyle Lowry if you could somehow get him away from Memphis. They re-signed their guy. The Raptors re-signed Lowry. But I loved Lowry last night in that matchup. I thought we saw DeMar DeRozan, believe it or not, pass the ball more. Remember we talked about that? He just kept going back to that shot last Thursday against the Bulls. Missed, you know, a lot of those shots in the key and in the paint and could not, he just couldn't drain anything last week. Now, what I worry about is the bigs. I thought the bigs were a bit overmatched, obviously, by Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph. Nobody thinks that Amir Johnson and Jonas Valanciunas can match up with those two. But Terrence Ross kind of saved the day, didn't he? 14-point fourth quarter. So everything, for every bad thing that's happened in a Raptors game, it just feels like there's two good things. It's one step back, but then the proverbial two steps forward. And I'll tell you what, even when they go back to Memphis, they don't play there till mid-January. That'll be a fun place. I don't think Memphis is going to be a final two team, and I don't even know if they'll be in the second round of the West playoffs. That's how much of an okay corral it is out there with trying to advance.
I do want to ask you about Vince Carter and the video tribute we did see last night and his reaction. We'll do that and more as we get your six-pack on a Thursday morning.
This is your Thursday morning six-pack. Six things you need to start your day.
Number six, we will start with the National Hockey League last night. So there's a couple games. You saw them on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, including the Canucks over the Oilers 5-4. And the other one was the Rangers getting by the Flyers 2-0. Now, Flyers' brand new GM, Ron Hextall, apparently, now we don't have the audio, but we have some quotes, apparently lost it on his team last night postgame, Greg.
Yeah, he came in, Steve Mason, friend of the show, if you will, was very good last night. Not as good as Cam Talbot, but was very good last night. So he's talking to reporters, and Hextall just charged into the dressing room. There's doors slamming. He opens one door, closes it, opens another one, slams it shut, and everybody just sort of turned around. His quote, "Are you effing kidding me? That's effing embarrassing." And then took the mighty Lord's name in vain. You know which Lord I'm talking about. Not the Royals song. And took that in vain before opening the door to another room. So he went crazy. I've seen coaches get angry. I've never been in a room when a baseball GM, basketball GM, hockey GM has roared into a room and, like Billy Bean, starting to throw things and hit things with baseball bats, swinging vending machines. I've never seen it.
Well, as a coach, and they always, you can't just yell all the time because it begins to lose its meaning. As a GM, you get what? I would say maximum 2 times a year where you can go in and really get upset. And Ron Hextall, in his first year at the helm in Philly, has used up one of those chances.
Can you do it? And
15, 20 games in.
And is it good to do it in November?
Probably.
Because now it's public.
Good on Hextall.
Oh, no, listen, but we've talked about what an up-and-down league it is and how upset GMs are going to be with performances on a regular basis. Imagine the story if we find out Brendan Shanahan walked into the room Tuesday night after the game and started, you know, throwing equipment everywhere and took a bat to a clock or a television or whatnot. Flyers' next game will be really interesting. It's back home tonight. They go right back at it against the Minnesota Wild this evening. Keep an eye on it. The Flyers are probably a great bet tonight. They're not going to embarrass themselves at home this evening.
Number five, Jason Collins, the first openly gay player in any of the four major sports, announces his retirement yesterday. It was a quick part of his career, kind of over and done with, when he signed with the Brooklyn Nets last season. But Jason Collins will forever have an impact.
I just loved how it sort of didn't stay a story. I mean, the proverbial fears of how will he be treated by teammates? Not an issue. How will he be treated by opposing players? Not an issue. Fans in other cities? Not an issue. And, you know, this is the good side of it. The downside was sort of the Michael Sam thing, only in that I think people advocating for Michael Sam, somehow suggesting that the NBA is more ready than the NFL. Jason Collins is a better player at what he does than Michael Sam seems to be. People aren't excluding Michael Sam just because of who he is and what his sexual orientation is. It's that they don't think he can play football well enough to play in the NFL. And that happens with loads of college guys who are really good in college.
Number four, NFL Thursday nighter. It's the Oakland Raiders, winless, and the Kansas City Chiefs tonight. Two questions here. Are we really talking about the Raiders actually going 0-16? And are the Kansas City Chiefs at 7-3 kind of the most forgotten about team in football right now?
I would be shocked now if the Chiefs didn't miss the playoffs. You probably feel the same way. And I don't know if that's flirting with the division over Denver. We gotta not give up on Denver. My heavens! 3 weeks ago, we're saying,
"Well, this is where we were a year ago."
Oh yeah. And Kansas City hosts Denver next Sunday. It's great Thanksgiving Thursday of games in the States, and then Sunday. That's probably the best game on the Sunday. It's the Sunday nighter. But the Raiders are. Does 0-16 kind of fascinate you? Did it fascinate? The Colts flirted with it a lot that non-Peyton Manning year, and then they won two games really late in the season to shut down the talk that they were going to fall off the Lions the few years earlier when it's only still one team that's done it. And I didn't think the Raiders could do it.
The Raiders have really struggled lately. Earlier in the season, they had some pretty hard-fought games. There's something about it that I just don't see it happening. I don't see any team losing all 16.
Home games left: Kansas City tonight, San Fran, and Buffalo. Buffalo, circle that one. Road games at St. Louis, at Arrowhead, at Denver.
Not easy.
No.
Yeah, not easy. Number three, some Toronto Blue Jays notes. Now, we will have the Russell Martin press conference coming up this afternoon, 2 p.m., Sportsnet 1. And right here, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The other bit of news yesterday, Juan Francisco is no longer a Blue Jay, Greg. No one's shedding a tear because of this, but he's claimed off waivers by the Boston Red Sox.
You saw him lots. I saw him lots. We all kept using the phrase "turn into a pumpkin." We all had that fear in late April, early May. We thought this guy's not on the waiver wire from Milwaukee out of spring training for no reason. That said, you probably went to a lot of the games where he was impactful in late April, early May, and a big reason the Jays shot out to a 6-game lead in the division. Right?
Yeah, but then he did nothing for about 4 months.
No, I'm not.
I mean, that's a long time.
That's the opposite of Colby Rasmus. No one was clamoring for Juan Francisco to get back into the lineup in August or September. No.
Number two is mentioned. Raptors knock off the Memphis Grizzlies. That's just the second loss of the season for the Grizz, 96-92 at the ACC last night. Raptors now in Eastern Conference leading 9-2. They get the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow. And the number one thing you need to know, all eyes on the ACC tonight. The Leafs, for a lot of reasons, did a big-time bounce back. They get Steven Stamkos and the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. We've got the game for you right here, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We will ask Nick Kyprios what he expects coming up at 7:22. We want to send you to the ACC this weekend. Toronto takes on the Detroit Red Wings. Name us that mystery player. Your third and final clue is coming up at 8:14 this morning. Here is clue number two. He was involved in the big deal that brought Ray Bourque to Colorado and subsequently brought him his Stanley Cup as well. Your third and final clue, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino, coming up at 8:14 this morning.
Sportsnet 360's got Caps and Avs from Denver, Colorado at 9 o'clock tonight. It's on Sportsnet 360. Raiders Chiefs obviously on Sportsnet. Nick Kyprios next. I heard him say something about Dion Phaneuf yesterday during Hockey Central at noon, and we want him to expand on it. We'll do that coming up in 6 minutes at 7:22.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
.723, Brady and Walker, Raptors win. We'll ask Nick Kyprios about it in seconds. Brady and Walker on your Thursday. No, we won't. We'll ask him about the Leafs. Hey, let me ask you this.
Is that because Butch Carter talked hockey on the show yesterday? Well, we got a lot of reaction to that.
Unsolicited as well,
okay.
I might
That's
add. No, but like Butch Carter, I want to actually play
Scrimmins
the clip.
Or Victor Faust?
So,
Butch, I mean, who's been more disappointing in net for the Oil?
I love Butch Carter.
It's okay.
I love Butch Carter. Don't get me wrong. But I asked him yesterday I literally asked him, where do the Raptors stack up in the Eastern Conference? And he started talking about Brandon Shanahan and what he needs to do.
an out-of-body MLSE experience. That can happen for ex-MLSE employees. Trust me. I believe it. I believe that for For 100%.
It's all one and the same.
Yeah.
What, he starts talking about real sports bottom line? I don't know.
It's all emotional. It's all about selling condos. Sure. If you had Richard Petty on, he might not answer all the questions you wanted to.
Oh, you're right.
Wanted to hear. But yeah, Nick Kyprios, our NHL and Sportsnet insider, brought to you by Sicily Honda. By the way, it was great. What a great conversation between Doug McClain and Glenn Healy. You just got to sit back, put your feet up and go, wow, I'm glad I don't live with either of these two men.
Well, first of all, I worked last night, so I missed the video tribute to Vince Carter, his mom, and their parking spot. that's the extent of my Raptor analysis.
That's not bad. That's pretty. That's pretty strong. Okay. They cleared out. It's. I'm saying this a lot lately, though. Raptors fans are really happy to come to games, and they don't. Like Leafs fans just kind of almost, they're doing it begrudgingly now, and they're out for blood.
Oh, you can't even compare the two.
No, you can't. Like, it's a miserable feeling, abused fan base coming to home games. It'll be that way tonight. It'll be that way Saturday.
You know what? It's past that. It's past that. There's a level of acceptance now. You just pay the money, you go, you have to put up with the jokes. You're part of the jokes. You kind of laugh, but you laugh kind of hating the laugh, but you still laugh. You know, it's not pretty at all.
Heading into tonight, and all eyes are on this game. We'll have it here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan because people expect bad things to happen. We had this little debate internally here, Nick, about people throwing their jerseys, and maybe at the end it doesn't matter. Maybe it's just, you know, 10 drunk fans in the season, but the players get asked about it. I seem to have a bigger problem with it than Greg does, in the sense that, I mean, you played for the Leafs. You're part of a proud tradition.
Oh, no.
Does it insult you when they throw that?
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. And I cannot believe that players would sit there and talk about tradition and history and, you know, Chicago's got their logo roped off. Mm-hmm. Roped off. So the same guys that, you know, just look at you like they want to rip your head off if you even got your baby toe on the logo when the media goes through the room are the same guys that don't care if a jersey's thrown on the ice, right? You can't have it one way and not feel it the other way. So
so you agree with Phil Kessel's comments yesterday?
I agree with anybody that says that, you know, it's a bad thing and it's not a good thing. And you take it personally and, you know, that's your logo. That's your pride and your joy that you've dreamt since you were 7 years old to be a part of the National Hockey League and having jerseys chucked on the ice and run over by cars and stepped on is not a good thing. It's personal.
We can say too much maybe about, like, the Oilers had a game where it happened last year and Ben Scrivens took the jersey and threw it back into the stands. Imagine a moment like that for a Cody Franzen or a Nazem Kadri if they did that. Then that becomes, and I'm saying maybe they should, because you're right. You were talking about it yesterday on the air and you were utilizing the phrase alpha dog a lot. And you made some great points about Dion Phaneuf. You made some great points about what's around Phil Kessel. We've often said, we said one morning, we were like, why couldn't Phil Kessel be Patrick Kane in Chicago? If Patrick Kane comes here, people are wondering about him. And you said, Kane's got that unbelievable insulation. Yeah. He even had it in junior. I watched him with the Knights, and he had leaders all around him. I mean, we can overdo it, but don't ever undersell its impact, right?
For sure. And that's not to suggest that there's no value in Phil Kessel. He's one of the best scorers in the league. But, you know, we said it, and I said it the moment he got traded here, is that in a perfect world, that would be your third or fourth guy that you go after you had a few pieces that you could sit there and say, that's my core, that's my Mr. Everything, leader on the ice, leader off the ice, first shift of the game, last minute of every period, last minute of the game. That's my go-to guy. Phil's limited that way. And Phil's not pretending to be something he's not either. So, no, let's give him a little credit there. I mean, it's not like when Brian Burke traded for him, he knew there were some warts there. But he was okay with it if he could have built around him, not the other way around. So, Phil's a great goal scorer, and that's where it's left. But after that, that room gets real weak. And, you know, I think Phaneuf's trying to do as much as he's capable of, but pressure's still on for him to be more than something he's not, you know, and that includes his play, and that includes his ability to lead, and that's limited. Now it's really Brendan Shanahan. He's the guy that's come in and, you know, supposed to fix this thing, and it's going to take time, and that's probably why we haven't heard from him. But don't tell me for 1 second Brendan Shanahan's not feeling it this morning either.
Knowing everything you know, and the, I guess there has to be a minute amount of speculation here, would you as a player on this current Leafs team see Dave Nonis, how do I put it, as the authority figure on this team? His assistant GMs were fired. Randy Carlyle, who is his choices coach, his assistant coaches were fired. If Dave Nonis came in kicking and screaming, would you pay more attention as a player than if Brendan Shanahan did? I don't think I would at this particular moment.
I don't know if, you know, I don't know if a guy like Kadri or many of them in that room get to pick and choose who can motivate them or who worries them or who's got more bite in what they say. They're, a lot of those guys, they're just not in that place. So I would hope that whether it's Nonis or Shanahan or Larry Tannenbaum or whoever it is, you know, it's not about who's kicking and screaming and knocking over garbage, you know, bins in the dressing room. It's about looking at yourself in the mirror and seeing if you like, you know, what you see. And that's the issue in itself. Don't look around the room and find people to come and motivate you. It's got to be within. And if it isn't within, then you're the wrong guy to be in that room.
Nick Kypreos, our guest on Brady and Walker for Cicely Honda. That said, I mean, the Flyers lose last night and Hextall comes in and goes bonkers. But as a general manager, or in this case, if you are Brendan Shanahan, why, as a player, I mean, you get what? As a GM, two chances to do that in a season? What's the limit there?
Yeah, you don't want to. Yeah, I think, Andrew, you're pretty close. I mean, you'd probably like to wait till Christmas, you know?
You
want another month or two, but you don't want to overplay that role. You've got people in place. You've got coaches. You got assistant coaches that are supposed to deal with that on a daily basis. General manager, but, you know, ultimately, you know, Brendan Shanahan, you know, comes in with the status that few have ever in the history of the Toronto Maple Leafs have come in. And at some point, the buck stops with him. You know, you're making $2.5 million a year for one reason only, and that's because the buck stops with you. So when the time's right, you know, Brendan will go in there and do and say what he needs to do.
Don't forget, Nick Kypreos, part of Hockey Night in Canada, of course. Red Wings, Leafs, among the many games on Saturday night. Washington, Colorado on Sportsnet 360 tonight at 9 o'clock. Nick, thanks for this. We'll be listening at noon.
Have a great day, guys.
There's Nick Kypreos joining us, as he does every Thursday at 7:20, our NHL and Sportsnet Insider, brought to you by Cicely Honda. Now, you might have saw, maybe you didn't, if you're listening, 7:33, quotes from Ron Wilson yesterday. ESPN's Pierre LeBrun got a hold of him.
Yeah,
he's been elusive.
I did read this, yeah.
He's been elusive in the last 3 years. His quote, "I just feel so bad for Randy, and I actually feel bad for the players, too. The Leafs are still over 500, and people there are thinking the Titanic is going down. I've lived it." But then he also very much criticizes the atmosphere at the ACC. And you and I go to games, we often think too much can be made of, oh, wow, empty platinum seats. Hey, there were, you know what? There were empty platinum seats before the third quarter of last, in the first few minutes of the halftime of the Grizzlies game. It's right. An ACC and thing. It's not a Leafs v. Raptors thing.
I'll admit, if it's not Saturday night at the ACC, yeah, the atmosphere is lousy. It is, but it's not the be all and end all. It doesn't have any impact on the team. I've never thought that. The Ron Wilson quotes are interesting because some of it feels like, you know, sour grapes, and he had some problems with the market, and other things. I do think he's bang on in. I think this fan base, for whatever reason, is more sensitive. Now, you have every right to be just ridiculously mad after two back to back efforts like Buffalo and Nashville.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to tear their hair out? You know, that said, I've never seen a fan base that gets this incensed over a team that's 500.
Well,
there is something to be said to that.
Ron Wilson was fired as head coach when they were 29-27-7. Now,
yeah,
they had a really bad February.
They weren't a very good team.
They went in. He got his Christmas contract extension, and they were 19-14-5, and then things started to go south. But again, there is a big picture here. That said, I don't know how. We'll talk more about after 8 o'clock about how optimistic we are about where they go tonight. Masiah Jury, don't forget, will join us at 8:02 this morning off another big home win for the Raptors. They go to Cleveland Saturday night. We've got that game, Raptors-Cavs, right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Everybody's favorite grape line coming up. Don Cherry, Brian Williams. The Leafs had a long practice yesterday. Don will talk about his short practices during his days with the Bruins.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Keep it here for more Brady and Walker, only on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
7:42, good morning. Brady and Walker, are the Toronto Blue Jays hours away from sending an offer to Pablo Sandoval? One report says yes, one report says not so fast. We'll get into that after Randall the Handle.
And should they mail it or fax it? Which one should they, should there be like a self-addressed stamp? Is it COD? Do you have to pay for it? Like when the courier shows up at your door and you got to do that electronic signature?
Should I be FedEx guy? Should I be embarrassed or proud of the fact that when I have to, for the odd reason, send a fax, I need the administrative assistant here to help me?
I'm about like that with sending letters. Like, that's how you used to have to pay bills in college and what. And I was bad at paying bills in college. And now I'm like, stamps, do I put an envelope? Where do I send it?
Yeah.
Does someone pick it up at the community mailbox that I pick my mail? I'm very confused by it.
I need the envelope with the space for the stamp so I remember where to put it. That's how bad
I remember
am
the very first
stuff.
Time I had a low-paying job and you get direct deposit and you're like, serious, just give me the check. I feel a lot safer. Now I'd be like, they would just pile up and I'd lose my mortgage. We saw this stat, and I got to bring it up about NFL games and coverage, because we've talked about these Thursday night games before and ratings. Now the football hasn't been very, very great, let's put it mildly. But I didn't think this was an issue. So this is from Sports Business Journal. A record number of women are watching NFL games across all networks so far this season, despite the domestic violence and child abuse issues that engulfed the league 2 months ago. What did we say when it happened? Now, there were some disgusting elements to both the Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, you can go Ray McDonald, you can go, like, there was a lot of stuff that upset everybody.
Sure, especially
but
the Ray Rice stuff.
I guess I thought to myself, they're up 5% in the women 18 to 49 demo in the States, and 4.5%. Now, there's a lot of reasons for this. One I'd attribute to is Title IX. A lot of people have noted this about women, girls growing up and playing sports, it's great. Like, I wish we had a WNBA team here. The more sports we have, the better.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I'm not saying I'd go, but I have two sons and not a daughter. But I'm telling you that people who have daughters are nodding, you know, teenage daughters, 12-year-old daughters, whatever. They're nodding going, yes, my daughter plays hockey, plays baseball, whatever, so they're more inclined to watch growing up. That's just, if we didn't play, Andrew, if you and I played no sports growing up, would we have been the sports fans we'd be? No. No, universally, absolutely not.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather have a WNBA team in our city or
I'm not
answering $5?
Three free beers tonight at the Danforth. I don't know. But isn't this sort of a pretend argument? Like, who was jumping up and down saying, well, women will stop watching the NFL now? Like, and as a man, why am I any more, less offended, less disgusted by a man whipping his child,
yeah,
by putting sticking leaves in his mouth.
I don't like that principle. And I don't want to come off sexist here, but like, my girlfriend hates Chris Humphries because he divorced him and Kim Kardashian had a divorce, right? I don't know a guy that feels that way. Newsflash, we're different.
I just think
women.
I don't know. I found it a little bit demeaning almost to me. Find out what your girlfriend thinks of Michael Phelps's girlfriend and get back and get that hot take delivered
that's a different can of worms. I don't open that one.
No one does. Randall the Handle joins us now, co-host of the Bottom Lines, brought to you by BetTheGreek.net Sunday at 10, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You had a very engaged Randall, you had a very engaged Andrew Walker listening all during his trip back from Buffalo.
Yeah,
on
I listened
Sunday.
To every minute of the show. You guys do a fantastic
Even
job, but I've told you that before.
Well, thank you, Andrew. We, you know, we got to throw it out there, and we hope for the best. Last week turned out pretty well, but yeah, the NFL, every week is different, and, you know, you cross your fingers and pray that the bounces go your way, and that's the way it is. But you still got to look at all the games and do your analysis, and that's what we do.
Now, we'll get to if you have some WNBA lines for Brady in a second, but
I do. It's funny the LA Sparks. Talk about that because even my daughter is in a fantasy league.
There you go.
That's been a big catalyst for this. I think fantasy, the girls hear the guys talking about it all the time, and they're immersed in their fantasy teams. And there's a curiosity. And even my daughter, who's in her 20s, put together a group, or she's in a group with, I think, 10 or 12 other girls. And they have a fantasy league, and she's sweating them out now. She's got Roethlisberger, and she started him when she shouldn't, and she didn't start him when she should. And it's engaging.
That is a great point. I never thought of that aspect, but that obviously exists.
I think the game that if I recall, because we talked about it with you, that you were most passionate about was the line on the Sunday nighter, Indy in New England, and you hit it right on the money. You know, New England ended up routing the Colts. Did we learn a little something about both those teams, and how does it affect the Lions this week as the Patriots host the Lions? Then, of course, you have Indy with a big home favorite to Jacksonville.
Well, without trying to sound vain, I didn't learn anything. I saw what I expected because Indianapolis can't be favored over New England. It's just ridiculous. Now, again, it's something that people have to remember. The line is not an opinion on the game. The line is there. Its objective is to get equal action on both sides. And they accomplished that objective because they didn't get heavy action on the Patriots. So I guess that was smart by them. I just couldn't understand it. I don't think that Indianapolis deserves to be favored over that team. Indy beats up on the weaklings, and they lose to the elite teams. And it's been like that for quite some time. Now, I'm not saying that they're not a good team. I think Andrew Luck's a good quarterback. I don't think he's in the category with some of these other guys. But he might be an Andy Dalton type. When the lights go on, he may not show up. And that's a maturing process. So I don't know. That worked out this week. And I think everybody's in agreement right now that the Patriots are the best team in the league. Except, and Indianapolis is somewhere in the top 12.
Yeah, and yeah, there's a matchup issue there. They've given up a lot of points to New England, and including the playoff last year. I want to ask you, I love your show on Sunday because I also consider you a bit of an NFL historian, so I love when we talk the history of it. And I was a kid when the snowplow game happened, right? This is interesting about Jets-Buffalo because it really won't we don't think it'll impact the AFC playoffs, but with the snow, with the circumstances, they're even talking like they're getting volunteers and giving free tickets away to, if they don't, could this move the line at all, given this is, there's a basically borderline natural disaster in Buffalo at the stadium? They moved a Sunday game, I didn't even remember this, between Minnesota and Philly to Tuesday because of a snowstorm a couple of years ago. Can this impact how people view this game at all with what's happened there?
Well, it could a little bit. It'll impact the total more than it will the game. Right now we're seeing 39.5 on that, or 39 on that game, and it opened a little bit higher, so weather will sometimes affect the total more than the game itself. Of course, if it's raining or if there's some wind conditions, that sometimes can affect it. But not so much on the side. It's usually the total with weather conditions.
And want to ask you about, the Arizona-Seattle. Big divisional game. The Cardinals, obviously, 9-1, kind of running away and hiding in that division. But the Seahawks at home are a 7-point favorite. Is that too many points?
You know, I've been on this Arizona bandwagon all season long, and I think this week is when I get off of it. I think that they've been somewhat fortunate. They've been outgained on the season, Arizona. They've relied on their defense, and their defense is absolutely a solid unit. But Seattle hasn't been this low of a favorite in quite some time. In fact, the last 8 times that they've been less than a touchdown, and we're seeing 6.5 now. There's a few 7s, like you just said, but it's mostly 6.5. Last 8 times they were less than a 7-point favorite, they've covered. And this is a crucial game for them. This is one of those do-or-dies, and they're a team. When they're faced in these situations, they usually respond, especially in their own stadium. And now you got Drew Stanton, who's going on the road, who's won on the road at the Giants. His other 2 wins were at home. This is going to be a pretty difficult assignment for him. So it may seem like a lot of points based on the records of these two teams, but I'm leaning Seattle in that one.
Hey, quick answer, regardless of spreads. Raiders got a shot to pull this off. We never think 0-16 is possible until it actually happened with the Lions. Is Oakland going to lose the next six?
I don't know if they'll lose out, but they're going to lose tonight. They just don't have the personnel, guys.
They'd be an 0-14 team playing Buffalo, potentially, at home Sunday, December 21st. Now, we never would think an 0-14 would be favored, but if it really goes south for Buffalo, a pick'em game, we'll see how it goes, but that's a month away.
It's a month away. I don't think they can be favored over. I mean, if they hosted maybe Jacksonville, maybe Tennessee, they could be a point or something like that. I don't think they'd be favored over Buffalo. I think Buffalo would be a field goal. You just wouldn't draw any money on it.
You wouldn't. Hey, we'll be listening Sunday at 10. Thanks for this.
Always a pleasure. Have a great day.
It's great having him on. Randall, the handle, close to the bottom line. Some good insight there. BetTheGreek.net. And again, we'll keep our eye on that Buffalo situation. It's supposed to get 3 more feet of snow. and we were saying about the shoveling. We'll talk more about it in the 8 o'clock hour. $10 an hour seems like you hire $10 an hour to a babysitter to watch TV and make sure the oven doesn't boil over. This is hard shoveling for an hour straight.
Well, that
who does that?
That said, well, you could dog it. I don't think they're going to be. They're not going to whip you. They're not going to whip you and tell you to shovel harder.
It's not a Turkish prison.
But if you were in Buffalo and you were, say, a gym rat, you go shovel snow for a couple of hours.
And you get tickets to the game.
Yes.
They're going to send you to the
game. That would be more of the draw. Speaking of your love of the WNBA, which is, you have a lot of bad takes. That was maybe the worst one.
I didn't say I'd buy a flex pack. I said it'd be great to have as an option for young girls who love basketball here.
No, you...
And old girls who love basketball. What?
Yeah, they have the Raptors. Why do they need the WNBA?
You see how hard it is to get tickets? It's $200 to sit in the lower bowl.
I'm
never taking you for free again.
I'm going to name you before we break. I'm going to give you a couple of team names. You tell me if this is a WNBA team or not.
All right.
The Atlanta Dream.
Nope.
Yes, it is.
Damn it.
I had
one of those in my sleep 3 nights ago. It was messy.
Is this a WNBA team or not? The Connecticut Sun.
I know that it is.
All right, these are all teams. I'm not going to make any up. Well, the Tulsa Shock and the Washington Mystics are also teams.
I know that because the Tulsa Shock used to be the Detroit Shock, and they were going to have cheerleaders for the Detroit Shock. And somebody I used to work with regrettably joked that, "What are you going to call the cheerleaders? Toxic Shock? No, you're not. That's not right. It's not correct." And we all disagreed with it at that given time.
So. How about the Indiana Flu? Is that a team?
No,
no, it's the Indiana Fever. So close, very close.
Which would you rather have? I don't mean that in the biblical sense. I mean, nobody wants to get sick this time of year.
Very true.
Get your WNBA stuff. I can't believe it. So you would rather... Andrew would rather stand in the way of progress. He doesn't want more sports options in Toronto. You don't want a AA baseball team here I do.
Yes, I want a AA... No, I don't need a AA baseball team here. I have a...
If you lived in the burbs, you'd want one.
What would Blue Jays get? Team here.
I want to see people develop. I want to see Ricky Romero pitch again live.
Double A next year.
Yeah.
7:54, Brady and Walker. Masai Ujiri, Raptors general manager next. He told us he was not one for extracurricular honoring players of the visiting team. What did he think about Vince Carter last night? We'll ask him.